chapter number 2, the first of the year, we started a series, and this is the last sermon of the whole series, and some of you may be glad of that, but I have enjoyed it myself. I really have. And maybe this is your first time to be here, and that's totally fine. We welcome you here, and maybe you've missed some of the previous days of creation, but today we're on day number 7, and we started and we compared this creation story, not necessarily that he made the birds and the giraffes and whatever else on this day and whatever, not necessarily that, but what we've compared it to is the creation of the Christian life. And what we've talked about is on day 1, that's like salvation, where God turns the lights on. And then day 2, God starts a work, and he starts dividing things and cutting things off that don't belong to on you and through you. And so he can start making you look like himself, if you will. And then the next day, we see God doing something and multiplying and being fruitful and multiplying and replenish the earth and all of that. And then day 4 and 5 and so on and so forth. And then y'all remember last Sunday, we were on day number 6. And day number 6 was where a full-grown man showed up on day number 6. And this is what we said last Sunday is on day number 1, when you first get saved, it was like baby Jesus moved in. And each day you start growing and grace. That's what, have you ever heard somebody say, man, they're really growing as a Christian? Well, you're not getting any bigger. Well, you may be physically, as far as, especially if you ate what we ate last night. But what they're referring to as, boy, he's really growing as a Christian, he's talking about that thing that is formed in you, Jesus Christ, baby Jesus, and the way you grow, this thing becomes bigger and bigger and bigger. And by the time you get to day 6, it's done overtook your whole life. And when somebody sees you, this is reverse now. This is you, and this is Christ, and you can't even see you anymore. All you see is Christ. And so that's the way it starts out. On day 1, it's like this. But then on day 6, if you get to that point, it's to where Christ has overtook your life, and then you are behind, and Christ is taking over your whole life. And when somebody looks at you, say, oh, there is a Christian Christ-like, you see. And that's what this creation thing is all about, is being formed into the image of Jesus Christ. Now, let me say this in a way of introduction. A lot of people like day 1 because this guarantees you a place in heaven. But most people don't want to do any. They don't want to grow as a Christian. They don't want to do any more. God, all I need you to do is save me and take me to heaven, but don't ask me to do nothing. Lord, all I want you to do is take me to heaven, make sure me and my family's going to heaven, but I don't want to bring nobody to church. I don't want to talk to nobody about the Lord. Just let me watch what I want to on television and listen to on the radio. All I need you to do is take me to heaven, and the rest of it, just leave me alone.
That's right.
I was looking for more amens on that. Because what happened, that is the majority of churches today. They're full of day 1 Christians and they're not ready to move. But I'm going to tell you, a great church, it has nothing to do with numbers. If we had 500, if we had 5,000 in this room, it has nothing to do with numbers. You give me 100 people that want to be on day number 6, we'll be the best church in Dyer County. Not because we're bigger in number, but because we have moved from day 1 to day number 6. Now, day number 7, watch what happens. Genesis chapter 2, are you ready? We're out of chapter 1 now. Chapter number 2, here's day 7. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the 7th day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the 7th from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the 7th day and sanctified it. Now, what that means, he set it apart. sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. Day number 7. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, this morning for allowing us to be here. God, I pray for the next few minutes that we will get something from your word. Lord, I pray, God, that you would help us in the next few minutes get something from you, focus on you like never before, and we can be able to rejoice when we leave this place saying it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. Now, Lord, I thank you and I praise you for all that you're doing for us now. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's people said, amen. Now, I've already gave you all the introduction, but on day number seven is very important, because day number 7, God rested from his work and all the things that he had made in the first 6 days. Now, think about this. God didn't rest because he was tired. He rested because he was through. He rested because it was complete. The number 7 is God's complete number. It means he was finished. It was complete. You ever notice this? There's coming a day, ladies and gentlemen, when, yes, we got saved on day 1 and God's been doing a work, but there's coming a day when we will enter into heaven's rest and there will be no more pain, no more sorrow, no more death, no more crying. And Lord, we'll be there with him and with our family and friends. Nobody will be left out. And we will be there, and it will be rest, and it will be complete. Yes. On that day number 7, that's what I'm looking for. God uses a lot of 7s. 7 dispensations in the Bible. 7 churches in the book of Revelation. 7 candlesticks. 7 days in a week. On that piano over there, there's only 7 notes. And when you get to the 8th note, it's an octave, and it repeats, and it goes over those same 7 notes. And you got half notes, and those got 7 colors in the rainbow. And then it starts all over. God's complete number is on this particular day. But here's something I want you to notice. On all the other days, on day number 1, when it got finished, it said, y'all get ready to grab your songbook, because I'm telling you, when I show you this, everybody's going to throw a songbook at somebody. So get your songbook ready. And tell your neighbor, just watch out, because I'm fixing to get excited. But on day 1, when he finished day 1, he said, and the evening and the morning was the first day. 2, evening and the morning was the second day. On 3, evening and morning was the third day. Y'all getting the picture? On day 4, he said the evening and morning was the fourth day. On day 5, he said the evening and morning was the fifth day. On day 6, he said the evening and the morning was the sixth day. But on the 7th day, he don't say that. Why? Because on day 7, it never finishes. It's on and on and on and on and on and on and on. It's why we call it eternity, because once you get there, you say, my loved ones have been up there 15 years. It's been the same day they got there for right now. They're on the same day. The sun never sets. Stay in your seat. Don't get excited. And the moon never comes up. Jesus Christ is the light. It's always daytime there. Hallelujah. That's why he said it is complete. There is no end, perfect rest. Now, let me give you this verse, Revelation 21. Are y'all ready? Now, stay in your seat. Keep your songbook handy in case you need to slap your neighbor. But in verse 4, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Now, try to stay in your seat. There will be no more death. Neither sorrow. On day 7, no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. Let me get, Houston, I'm going to have to get over here to the goat side or the sheep side. I asked Houston, I said, y'all used to sit over here. Why'd y'all move over here? He said, well, I got to read my Bible. And he said, the sheep on the right. And the goat's on the left. Anyway. Mm. But Revelation, look, Revelation 21, no more crying. Neither shall be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. That's what we're talking about on day number 7, a day that will never end, entering into God's perfect rest. We have hard days at work, and we come home and we rest, and we really can't rest because the alarm clock's going to go off, and we got to get up the next morning and go and do it all over again, and we're tired. We come in and we rest, and we can't rest because we know we got to get up and do it again. How many want to wave at me right there? But there's coming a day when you'll enter into that rest, and it don't matter what all you do during the day, it's the same day, and you'll never get tired because you always feel rested. Rest from your troubles. Rest from your worries. Rest from your tears. Rest from your work. Rest from your labor. Rest from your sickness. Rest from all death and sorrow. And the devil himself will get a break from him. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, this is what the Bible says. Over there, now all of that, all of this on day one is a free gift. You don't have to do one thing for it. Titus 3:5 says this, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. Amen. By the washing, regeneration, and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Not by works of righteousness which we have done. Ephesians 2:89 says this, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God. Right. What? Not of works, right, lest any man should boast.
Amen.
If I had to work my way to heaven, when I got to heaven, I could really poke my chest out and say, boy, look what I did to get here. And boy, I could really walk around and say, boy. But the Bible says, not of works, lest any man should boast. So that means you don't work to get to heaven, because Christ already done the work. And when you get there, and you say, God says, well, what authorizes you to come into my heaven? And I say, Lord, nothing in my hands I bring. I'm not even worthy to be here. I don't belong here, but I met your son one day. I run up on your son one day, and he pointed me to the cross, and I plunged beneath the flood and washed all my guilty stains away. He says, come on in, thou good and faithful servant. And you don't walk in with your head up. You walk in with your head down. Because it ain't you.
That's right.
And it ain't me. But it is all about him. Now, let me hurriedly give you this right here. When you got saved on day number one, you were guaranteed. Guaranteed. I don't know how you spell that, but you were guaranteed a couple of things. Number one, you were guaranteed a brand new, now get ready. I know them seats are hard to get up, and Tommy has to sit on the edge of it so he can get up and down real good. But when you got saved on day one, you were guaranteed a brand new body. You say, preacher, you got any verses for me? I sure do. I try to do my homework before I come up here. And that Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. At the last trump, this corruptible will put on incorruption, and this mortal is going to put on immortality. Then shall be brought to pass the saying, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? When that trumpet sounds, your loved ones, they're going to come up out of the ground, changed. That body will be changed in a moment, twinkling an eye. If you're still living and the Lord comes right now, we're all breathing in this room right now, in a moment, twinkling of an eye, they're going to come up, get changed, and we're going to meet them in the air and get changed just like that in the middle of the air. Now, you think about somebody sitting in here right now that don't know the Lord and they're lost, and the Lord comes right now, they just get left in the seat. Think about the sight that they will see. There is a hip replacement laying right there in the seat. There's a couple of knees over here in this seat. I mean, half of Miss Phyllis is going to be sitting in the seat. Every, everything she's got been replaced. I mean, you think about this. How many, don't raise your hand, but how many sets of false teeth just going to be laying right there in the seat? When that Bible says you're going to get a brand new body, it means you're going to get a brand new body. In a moment, a body just like the Lord. Now let me hurry on, because number two, not only do you get a brand new body, you're guaranteed. Now I don't have it now. I am saved now, but I don't have it now. But I will when we get on that day number seven. Get a brand new body. Number two, you're going to get a brand new home. John 14 says this, let not your heart, are you heart troubled this morning? Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If you got a Bible that says rooms, see me after church. And I'll help you with that. I got a room down here. My Bible says, In my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. We're going to a land that's fairer than day, that's not made by a city, not made by hands.
That's right. Amen.
It's a real place. Heaven is a real place, a resting place. Matter of fact, heaven, there's three of them. The first heaven's where the birds fly. The second heaven is where the sun, moon, and star. That's what we call outer space. And the third heaven is the abode of God. Can you imagine? Just like that, we pass through the first heaven. Just like that. The second heaven, gone. And then we cross over into that third heaven. You say, how do you know there's three heavens? The Bible tells us. Paul says, I knew a man 14 years, whether in the body, out of the body, cannot tell, only God knoweth. Such a one that was caught up to the third heaven. Well, if he was caught up to the third, that means he had to pass through the first and the second.
Amen.
First heaven we see by day, the second heaven we see by night, but the third heaven we see by faith. And one of these days we're going to a city that's fairer than day. Resting from our labor. I could describe heaven to you, but I just wouldn't do it justice. Ladies and gentlemen, nobody's ever seen it and be able to live and tell about it, but one of these days we're all going to be there and be able to tell each other about it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, you're thinking, you done got off track. I ain't got off track. Remember, I told you all these days they match up.
Yes.
And on 7 days of creation should match up with the seven pieces of furniture in the tabernacle. Well, the seventh piece of furniture in tabernacle is that place right back there in the back, right back there where that light's coming down. And boy, that's that Ark of the Covenant where God met with the nation of Israel one time a year. Now get this, it's where God, on the Day of Atonement, he'd come down right there and meet with that one high priest. And boy, he'd come in there and meet with him one time a year. That's where God was. Day seven is where God is. Now watch. They only got to do it one time a year. They had to do it over. They had to do it over. And the only guy that could go back there was the high priest. You say, preacher, what's so different about it now? Boy, I'm glad you asked. Do y'all remember when Jesus died on the cross? We talk about it every Easter and Resurrection Sunday. The veil in the temple rent from top to bottom. And the reason when Jesus said it is finished, he stretched out his arms and died, the veil in that temple rent, tore in twain from the top to the bottom, laid plumb open. Now get the picture. Don't you know there was probably some Jews sitting around and they saw that curtain fall open and they think, oh mercy, we fixing to die. I ain't dead. Something's different. There's a new high priest in there's a new high priest in town. Whether you can enter into day seven, not one time a year. Man, you get in there and stay in there for all eternity through Jesus Christ our Lord. Stay in your seat, don't get excited. Now, I talked about that, but let me say this real hurriedly before we finish, because I got to get to this. Remember I told you, salvation is not by works. Salvation is not by work. It don't cost you a dime to get saved. All you got to do is trust and believe. Jesus Christ died for you. And you're depending on him to get you to heaven. You're not working to get to heaven. See, an apple tree is not an apple tree because it produces apples. It produces apples because it's an apple tree. A Christian is not a Christian because he does good things. He does good things because he is a Christian. See the difference? Now, watch this. Fix to give you a verse right here. Day 7. Now, when a kid is born into a family, that's one thing. You can't change that. You can't change relationship. Now, some people believe that, but look here. I'm going to tell you something. You cut me right now, and it's going to track back to my daddy. It don't matter if he kicked me out of the family a long time ago. Man, I can move to California and go to the nearest clinic, tell them to take my blood. They're going to say, yeah, Leonard Ballinger is your daddy. I got royal blood flowing through my veins on day one. Relationships, one thing. No works involved. But on day 7, inheritance and rewards is totally different. Now, this is more of a Wednesday night thing, but look here. Some of y'all can't come on Wednesday night, so I'm fixing to give y'all a truckload right now. Inheritance is by works. You say, preacher, you got any? I told you to do my homework. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 11. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. When you got saved on day one, Jesus Christ is your foundation of your house. See my house? He's my foundation. He's the solid rock I'm standing on. And then the rest of it. Now, if any man build, it's almost like we're building a house. Day 2, get your framework up. Somebody help me. Day 3, get our plumbing plumbed up. Y'all can tell I ain't a builder. Day 4, somehow we got to get a roof on this thing. Day 5, throw in some windows. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, look here, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. There's 6 different things there. Now, what's the next verse say? Every man's work, look at there, shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it's going to be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work shall abide, he has built that he built thereon, he shall receive a what? A reward. If, say condition, if you build. Now, if all you're doing is staying on Jesus Christ, hey, wonderful, hallelujah, you're going to heaven, you're going to get a brand new body. But how are you going to look when you get to heaven? And all you're doing is standing on a foundation and ain't got a house around you. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. Loss of what? Loss of reward. But he himself shall be saved, yet so is by fire. You say, preacher, can you explain that? I'll give you a good Old Testament example. His name was Lot. God says, Lot, get you and your family, get out of Sodom. You ain't got no business in there. You ain't got nothing. Don't take nothing. Don't leak. Get you and your family and get out. Because I'm fixing to burn the whole place down. Lot and his family got out. That's all he had. He had the shirt on his back, and he got out, and God burnt the whole place down. Lot was saved, yet so as by fire.
Amen.
Because everything he had in Sodom was no good. But you put gold, silver, precious stones in fire, it's going to come out, gold, silver, precious stones. You put wood, hay, stubble, wood, dead tree. Hay, dead grass. Stubble, dead wheat. Dead, dead, dead. It's going to burn up. So here's what happened. When you get saved on day one, God starts all of your works you've done since you've been saved. You get to day 7, he's going to put it in the furnace of fire. If you put gold, silver, precious stones in fire, it's going to come out, you're going to get a reward. Inheritance. If you get back and it's wood, hay, stubble, you ain't done much of anything since you've been saved. This won't be a good downloaded sermon. Not a lot of people going to download this one. But you ain't done nothing since you've been saved. You're still standing on the solid rock over there, which is good. You're still on day one. You're still a baby Christian. You still got a bottle in your mouth. You're 40 and 30 and 60 and 70 and still got a bottle in your mouth wearing diapers over on day one. Whoo, boy, that's good preaching. Yeah, that won't be downloaded too much. But then you get wood, hay, stubble. God says, I'm going to put everything you've done since you've been saved, put it in there. Come back. God says, well, there's your bag of ashes for your inheritance. Boy, I hope it ain't like the story I heard about the fella. He died and went to heaven. Peter met him at the door, and he's taking him around and said, hey, Billy Graham lives there, and George Beverly Shea lives over there, and boy, look at that place right there. Man, that's a monster right there. Look at that. And boy, he's taking them all over, and then he says, man, ain't no telling what mine looks like. He gets on the backside. They walk for days. And we get on the backside of heaven, and there's old shack about to fall down. Peter says, there's your mansion. He said, what in the world? We passed all them, and this is mine? Peter said, we did the best we could with the material you sent up here. We're talking about inheritance. Inheritance. You say, preacher, why in the world would I want what I want in inheritance? There's five crowns you receive. You'll have to come on Wednesday night to get this. I can't give all this. Five crowns. The crown of life, crown of glory, crown of rejoicing, crown of righteousness, and the incorruptible crown. There's five crowns you can receive. You might get one. You might get two. You might get four. I don't know. And you're thinking, I know what you're thinking. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, boy, I may get three or four of them. I've been doing really good. That crown of glory, that's for leading people, leading people in the right, feeding the sheep and all of that. Crown of rejoicing, that's for winner, soul winning and getting people saved and all of that. And crown of life, that's a martyr's crown and all that. Boy, I may get, boy, I'm going to be around heaven. Man, I'm going to be, my head ain't going to be big enough to carry all them crowns on my head. And I'm going to pass somebody that's only got one. And boy, I'm going to say, y'all think it's going to be that way? No. You say, what in the world are we going to do? What in the world are we going to do? Well, Revelation 4:8 tells us. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about them. They were full of eyes within. And the rest, not day or night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worshiped him that liveth forever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, thou art worthy, O Lord. Lord, I'm just glad I got something to give back to you. You gave me your whole life. I'm just glad I'd done a little something to cast back down at your feet. It ain't for me. It's for him. I don't want to be empty-handed. And stand there with a bunch of ashes going, Lord, let me give you this. No, I want to be able to say, he's worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Boy, wouldn't it be good just to be able to fall down and give back just a little something to him that loved us. That's what day seven's all about. Day seven is about salvation's on day one. We're not talking about salvation. We're talking about inheritance. Me getting something and being able to lay it down at his feet. I'll end with this story. You've probably heard it several times. I didn't have time to tell this one, but it matches the seventh man of faith, Hebrews chapter 11, and his name was Joseph. Remember, Joseph, coat of many colors. He starts out in his coat. His brothers hated him, didn't like him. Hey, you start moving to day two, day three, and day four, there's folks ain't going to like you because they're still stuck on day one. And by the time he got in the pit, he got out of the pit. Now watch this. He starts out. He gets thrown in the pit by his brothers. Then he gets out. He gets promoted in Potiphar's house. Then Potiphar's wicked witch of the West wife accused him of something he didn't do, throwed him into prison. He gets out of prison and winds up on day 7, second in command under Pharaoh. You ever notice this? Pit. Prison. What does that look like? Looks like your heartbeat. That's just life. Up and down. Up and down life. I finished with this story. Because I didn't have time to tell that, but I took it. There's a lady called her preacher in and said, "Preacher, I need to see you. My days are numbered. Looks like I'm fixing a... I don't know how much longer I got, but I need to talk to you about my arrangements and what I want done and this, that, and the other." And he went over there, took his Bible, and he says, "All right, what verses you want me to read? What's your favorite?" Boy, he wrote it down. He said, "All right, okay." And she said, "Now, preacher, when you put me in the casket, I want my Bible. I want my Bible in my left hand. I want my Bible in my left hand. Just lay it right up there and where people can see it." And they finished up, got all the songs laid out, and the preacher wrote all the stuff down, what she wanted sung, the verses she wanted, and who spoke and who didn't get to speak, all of that. He got up and got his Bible. He's getting ready to leave. And he said, "Preacher, wait, one more thing. I almost forgot. One more thing." Said, "Preacher, make sure, do this for me. Make sure. When they lay me out, they got my Bible in the left hand. But would you just put a fork in my other hand, just put a fork up there." The preacher just sort of scratched his head and said, "Ma'am, I've done a lot of funerals. I've never heard that before. You mind explaining to me what are you talking about?" She said, "Well, I've been in church all my life." She said, "I've been to every potluck." She said, "I've been to every dinner on the ground. Wherever we've had, I've always, and when I got older, people, the younger ones start serving, they'll come get my plate. And it didn't matter if I went to a restaurant, it didn't matter if I was at church, they always said this. They said, keep your fork, because dessert's coming." Sammy almost jumped in your lap. She said, "I want people to, when they come by, to know the best is yet to come." Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, this morning that the best is yet to come. And Lord, I hope that's helped in some way, somehow, help somebody. Lord, there is coming a day when we'll enter into that rest that'll never end, never be an ending. I sure do thank you for it. Now, God, I pray, if there's somebody in the room right now that not even on day one, they need to be saved. They need you as their foundation. Lord, there's people in here that may be saved and they just, that's all they got. They got salvation, but they've never really got a house going. Their personal, their spiritual house going. They're just stuck on day one. Lord, I pray that they'll decide today before they leave. Lord, I want to move to day 2 and day 3 and day 4 and day 5 and day 6. And Lord, I want a crown. I want something when I get to heaven. Not for me, but for I can lay it down back at your feet. Just to say how good you've been to me. Lord, we sure do thank you. In Jesus' name, won't you stand to your feet? Sam is playing. Won't you come? Anybody want to come to pray? Maybe you want to come. Just because you come pray don't mean something's wrong in your life.